Welcome to Human Music on KVSHLP Vashon. I'm your host, Mira Jo. On this show, I talk with other musicians and music lovers, and we listen to music together. My guest today is Rebecca Rodman. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
And do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Absolutely. So I lead a rock and blues band called Dirty Cello. We play high energy blues, rock, bluegrass, Americana. We've performed all over the world, and this will be our first time at the O Space this Saturday, July 11th, and we're super excited.
It's great to have you coming to Vashon. We're very excited to have you. So tell us a little bit about how you started playing music. I usually start with a little question about what's your first memory of making music?
My first memory is I was 6 and a half when I started the cello, and I remember my dad had to make me a special chair to sit in. And I remember sitting in that little bench, on that little bench, because my feet had to reach the ground. And so basically I started the cello 6 and a half, was in youth orchestras. Then I went into college. I was a classical player, got my degree in music. After that, I got into a whole bunch of orchestras here in California, was a whole professional classical musician, realized I don't care for classical music that much and wanted to go a completely different route. And so I started this band, Dirty Cello, about 14 years ago and haven't looked back since.
And so what got you kind of started in this new direction was, and how did you find people to play with and your bandmates?
Yeah, so when I was in college, I started playing with singer-songwriters, and I would play kind of boring parts of long notes behind them. And I always wanted to be like the person up in front doing something cool. And I remember the first time I sat in with a blues band, and I thought, oh, well, this is cool. The guitar has the coolest part. I want to do that on my cello. So me and my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, he picked up the guitar and we started playing in little coffee shops and just kind of playing around with blues music, a little bit of rock music. And after a while, people started listening to us and we realized we needed to make our band bigger. We added bass and drums. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? We need a singer. And so I ended up singing in the group, and that's what we are today.
That's a great story. What is that transition from classical to blues on the cello? Like, what changed in your style of playing, or how did you approach it differently?
Oh, good question. Yeah, as a classical player, I was always like, I need to read the music. I cannot improvise. And blues is so much improvisation. And I was pretty stubborn about it. My husband was very encouraging and said, you know what, you got to listen to a bunch of, different bands and sort of absorb it. And so when I first started playing the blues and improvising, I wasn't very good at it because it was hard for me to just make up melodies. But as I started listening to more and more bands, Stevie Ray Vaughan, things like that, it got a little easier. And then suddenly I remember one day it just clicked and it just felt very natural. And that's the kind of music I prefer to play now.
And how did you get into songwriting then?
Songwriting, for the first year or so, we were doing mostly covers. And then we realized that we wanted to really just write our own music and kind of do a mix of originals and covers. We're not a very serious band, but I do write songs that have made me mad in the past, but there's always sort of a slightly humorous angle to it.
So you'd kind of draw your inspiration from your life, but because coming from, classical music where you are tied to the sheet music and playing what somebody else has composed, did songwriting just come easily? Did writing lyrics come easily?
None of it was easy, I was so glad that Jason, my guitarist and husband, was there with me because I would come up with an idea. He would come up with lyrics. We'd work on the chords together. And it's a long process. It's gradually gotten easier, but no, there was nothing easy about it.
And then were you singing? Have you always sung, or is this something that you started because of the band?
I used to sing as a kid, but only for fun and like local talent shows. But when I graduated college, I was like, I'm a cello player. I'm not a singer. But we started hiring singers, and they couldn't keep up. We'd have like a certain number of songs and they just wouldn't learn enough in time. And so Jason's like, "Why don't you sing?" And I remember telling him, "I'm not a singer, I'm a cello player. That's not what I'm going to do." And then after a while, it was kind of like, well, it was a necessity. So I was very shy about singing at first, but now if you see me on stage, there is no sign of nervousness or anything like that because now it feels natural.
That's amazing. And so you've been together with your band. How many years did you said?
14
14
years.
years. That's quite a long time. So it's sort of this is the same band members this entire time? Or
No,
no? Okay.
it's not. Just me and my husband. We will always be the core of the band. We actually have three bass players and three drummers. We perform so much that everybody needs to have lives. So we kind of rotate in our bass player and drummer.
That's great. And then, and can you talk a little bit about where you're from and where the band is based and what that's been like?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are based in San Francisco Bay Area. We're about 20 miles north of there. And we love touring. We love making a vacation of where we're going. So for example, when we go to, I'm going to say the name of this wrong, Vashon or Vashon?
Vashon.
Vashon. Okay, we go
Vashon.
there this Saturday. Not only will we play the show, but we're going to probably do some sightseeing and make a whole vacation out of it. So I think that's why, as touring musicians, it works for us because we're not just like, we're going to work, work, work. We make sure it's also a fun experience.
That's great. How did you find us?
That is a very good question. Usually, the way we find out about places like this is a fan is like, hey, this is a great place. You should play there. And then we go, okay, we'll contact them and see if they want us. And that's, I'm guessing how we got this one.
That's so you do you handle all of your booking, or do you have like what does that operation look like getting all this touring on track? Like what is that lifestyle like?
Well, if I'm contacting like a country that speaks English, that's no problem. But when we went to China twice, we had a booking agent in China. And then in Italy, we also have a booking agent. But mostly we do the booking ourselves. People reach out to us, we reach out to them. And so it creates a lot of shows for us.
It's amazing. Well, the open space is a wonderful venue to perform at, and they're just always putting on something unique and interesting, and I think you're just the perfect band for that venue. So
You.
I'm
Thank
excited
you.
that you're coming. So for the show that I The show we like to listen to a song together, and so I ask the you know I have asked you to choose a song that's been influential, and you picked Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze. Why did you pick that song for us to listen to?
He was definitely one of the people who inspired me. And I just love all the different soloing he does on his guitar. And, again, it came from sort of a place of like, well, I want to do that too on my cello. So that was one of the first rock songs I learned was Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze.
Oh, on your cello. What was that like?
I have to play in a slightly different style. One of the reasons we're called dirty cello is I always think of classical music as being played cleanly. And I wanted this band to be the exact opposite. So dirty cello. So I just have to approach the cello a lot more aggressively. I have to think of ways I can make it sort of sound like an electric guitar by doing different technical things. So that was the way I approached it.
And do you use effects on your cello?
Occasionally, I do. I don't rely on that, but sometimes if it needs a little extra boost, I will do that. And I usually do that on Purple Haze.
That's amazing. What kind of pedal do you use? Is there like a specific pedal that for cello, or do you use guitar pedals?
I wish there were cello specific pedals. That would be amazing. It's always a guitar pedal. So I have an octave pedal, I have a delay pedal. I have like a wah-wah pedal. So I'll use those occasionally.
Love that. So tell me a little bit about the band that's going to be playing on Saturday.
So this one, because this is a more intimate space, we're going to be bringing our two-piece band. So it'll be myself and my husband. We do this a lot when we tour. Sometimes it just makes sense for the theater or financially or things like that. So my husband is, we all kind of have a lot of duties. My husband sort of MCs the show, plays the guitar, has a foot drum, which not a lot of people have seen. I'm playing cello, I'm playing fiddle, and I'm singing. So we try to act as four people instead of two.
Wow. And so you play fiddle also. And how long have you been playing fiddle?
I would say about 9 years. The reason for that, I had a student who came from China and he wanted to learn the cello. And he was 19, and I gave him free cello lessons because he was going to have a hard time affording it. And he said, "You know, actually, back in China, I'm a luthier, which is a string maker." And he's like, "I'm going to thank you by making you a violin." And I thought,
Wow.
okay, yeah, right. He actually did make me a violin. And I thought to myself, well, I can either hang it on the wall as a decoration, or I can actually learn how to play it as sort of a thank you. And so thanks to Tommy, I now play the violin.
That's amazing. You just dove right in. Well, let's listen to Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix. If you're just joining us, this is Human Music on KVSHLP Vashon. I've been talking with my guest, Rebecca Rodman from the group Dirty Cello, who will be performing this Saturday, July 11th at Open Space. So Jimmy, it's funny because I first heard Jimi Hendrix in high school, and I think what really attracts me, and you can hear it in this song, is he has this way of performing and singing that's so loose, and it almost feels spontaneous. And It really has a feeling of freedom, but it's also really, really gritty and emotive. And I just, that has always appealed to me because I'm much more like, I like you, I grew up playing classical music. And so everything was very, you know, by the book. And so like hearing Jimi Hendrix is like a really mind-blowing experience. But when did you first listen to Jimi Hendrix?
You know, I think probably when I was growing up, it was where I first heard him. And then, you know, because my parents probably talked about him. I can't remember the exact point, but I do remember kind of like you're saying with the fluidity and sort of the spontaneousness. I just feel like Jimi Hendrix was the type of player that every time he played one of his songs, it always turned out differently. And that's what I really liked, is that I'm sure he went on stage and was like, I'm going to play it this way, or I'm going to tweak it slightly. And as a musician, I can imagine how interesting that would be and how it wouldn't get stale. So I think that's one of the main things I've taken from him, is that I try to be like that on stage and not just go, and this is how I play it. I want it to be fresh for the audience each time and fresh for all of us on stage.
So do you do a lot of improvisation during a performance?
Absolutely. And a lot of times we don't even know what we're going to do. And that's the fun part. And the even more fun part is we go on stage, we have about, I don't know, 80 songs memorized, but I have no idea what is going to come next. Most bands have a set list, like we're going to play this song, this song, this song. We purposely don't do that. We like to be in the moment. So for example, if the audience is enjoying blues music more than our rock music, we're going to play more blues. Or let's say it's more of a bluegrass crowd, we're going to do more of that. So I guess we're taking what we learned from Jimi Hendrix and even apply it to our set list.
Does that include lighting your cello on fire?
If I could, I would. It actually is made out of carbon fiber, ooh, not wood. So I have no idea what happens when you mix that fire with carbon fiber. That's I'm not really going to find out anytime soon.
So what is that like on stage? So I'm just curious, you have this body of songs that you can draw from, and what is the, so you're just kind of communicating with the group and you just sort of feel like, oh, this is the next song that we're going to be performing. What is that live experience like?
There's been a few times where we've started the wrong song. I'll be on one song and someone will be on the other. Happened a few times. Most of the time we're in sync. A lot of times Jason will start strumming on the guitar and we immediately know what song he's talking about, or he'll tell a story and we know what's coming up next. For the most part, it works out great, but there have been a couple interesting moments.
And then how do you approach the improvisation? Is it you have like the song structured so there are moments that, and like, is it like a jazz group where, you know, you have the head and then you kind of riff off that melodic theme and there are spaces where each member can improvise?
Yeah, you know, it's a little less like jazz than you think, but normally it'll be like, okay, I just played a verse and a chorus and I'm thinking in my head, what does this song need in the moment? Do we need another verse or should I go into a solo? And that's literally all the thought process into it. Like if I was an audience member, what would I want to hear right now? And then sometimes, you know, I won't plan. I'll be like, I would like to hear violin right now. And I'll just pick up my violin. So I think it's just trying to be really in tune with what the audience is experiencing, it to make the most fun experience for them.
And then how do you structure that in the band? The band is just kind of playing, kind of you're leading each section. And so how do they know when you're going to transition out of it?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, I can lead in with my vocals and they'll know exactly that I'm going into a verse, kind of like right before it begins, I'll do a lead in. A lot of times I'll give them a nod like, hey, do you want a solo? And then they'll go for it. Or if they don't want a solo, they can just go like that. But they always want a solo. So yeah, it's just little subtle body movements and anticipating with either playing the cello or singing. So they know what to do.
What a very interesting approach. I mean, I just feel like you're bringing a lot of your personality to the music, and it's a very unique approach. It kind of bridges, your music is kind of not really genre-based in my mind because of the instrumentation and then the way that you're approaching it. Very, very unique. You've I asked you a song if you could bring a song for us to listen to, a dirty cello song. And so do you want to introduce the song we're going to be listening to?
Absolutely. So this song I wrote about 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, Jason and I got married, but we also bought our first house. And buying a house was very difficult because neither one of us had bought one before. And we live in the Bay Area, which is, it's difficult. So we needed a loan. And as musicians, it's very hard to prove our income. So I had a lot of conversations with my loan agent. And I would call him, I'd ask him a question, he'd answer it, and it was fine. And then I remember a few months later, I'd call him, he'd answer my questions, and then he would call me baby or sweetie. And I should have said something, I would now. But instead, I wrote the song, Don't Call Me Honey.
I love it.
Yeah. We even have shirts that go with it, too.
That's awesome. Let's listen to the song by Dirty Cello, Don't Call Me Honey.
Don't call me honey. Don't call me baby. Don't call me sweetie. I ain't your lady. Don't call me girl. Don't call me honey. Don't call me anything. You ain't the one. You're twice as old, but I'm twice as smart. You wanna go out, but you're just an old fart. I got something to offer. You wouldn't expect. It's the 21st century and I'll take your respect.
If you're just joining us, this is Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. I've been talking with my guest, Rebecca Rodman from Dirty Cello. They'll be performing this Saturday, July 11th at Open Space here on Vashon Island. Rebecca, we just listened to your song, Don't Call Me Honey. It's very gritty, and I feel like the name of your group is very spot on.
Thank you.
You have a lot of power behind your playing and your voice. I'm very surprised, actually, that you were not originally the vocalist and that you just stepped into that role. It's interesting. Like, you have such confidence, I guess, is my impression of you. And I'm just wondering, have you always had that confidence? Is it something you've developed?
These are great questions. Growing up, the cello is what gave me so much confidence. I don't think I was ever shy, but I was probably a weird little kid. And I think the cello made me just, people were complimenting me and it made me feel good. And it was a source of strength for me. And with the vocals, when I first started out, I wasn't very confident. And then audience members started complimenting me. And again, it kind of built my confidence with that. And so years later, it feels like second nature and I don't think about it. So when I do get on stage, I am very confident, probably because it's where I'm the most comfortable is when I'm on stage.
I love that, because you're talking about early on, you were like, how do I get in front of the band rather than the supporting act? So I guess there is just something within us that is kind of driving us either to be more supportive in a musical group or more of the front person. And it's interesting, I think you are the only woman in your band.
I am. We occasionally have backup singers too.
Okay.
Who are generally women.
And what has that experience been like as a woman leading a band of men?
Well, first of all, my husband's like the sweetest, nicest person in the world. So that makes it easy. Very supportive. And then the rest of the band, you know, it's funny because we've been through band members before. And our rule is they have to play good, but they also have to be nice people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in the past, we've had some players who are fantastic, but aren't nice. And I would prefer not to work with them. I don't care how good you are. If you're not a nice person, I don't want to hang around with you. So our band, everyone we have in our band is so nice, so relaxed. It really is an easy situation. And we purposely made it that way.
I love that because, yeah, you don't want to play with people that you don't like. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. Music is such a beautiful thing. Yeah, I'm struggling because how did you find your band members? I'm curious, like, did you know the word of mouth or did you put an ad in the paper? Like, how did you find the people that you're playing with? Because I just feel like it's not a very easy thing to find people to play with.
Right. It's not because we have to be really choosy about who we choose. So we've been through a few band members. As far as choosing, sometimes we'll see a band and we'll be like, oh, look at that. Like, I'll take a drummer, for example, and be like, oh, that drummer's really good. Or we'll hear another band be like, oh, that drummer is too loud of a player. You can never work in our band because we need a softer drummer since I'm a cello player. So I would say it was a combination of checking out other bands and seeing like what their drummers are like. Sometimes putting a shout out on like social media has helped. Sometimes word of mouth. It's honestly any place that you can, you want to use all that available resources because it is hard to find the right people.
And everybody is based in the Bay Area in San Francisco?
For the most part, we had a drummer move to LA and we had another drummer move to Pittsburgh. So the cool thing is when we go play in those areas, we just use those drummers. But for the our main ones are in the Bay Area.
And what is this music scene like there?
Fantastic. There is so many great places to play. It's funny because people are always going like, oh, I want to move to Nashville. There's so many opportunities. And all our friends who've lived in Nashville now live in the Bay Area. They're like, no, there's no opportunities. So I love the Bay Area. It is so full of great musicians and lots of places to play.
And so it sounds like musicians are very supportive of each other. And you all go out to hear each other play when you're performing locally?
For sure. We'd love doing that. It's rare that we don't have a show on Friday night, but when we have the rare Friday off, we're like, okay, who are we gonna go see?
I love that. That's really awesome. Well, I'm really excited that you're going to be here on Vashon Island this Friday or this Saturday, July 11th at O Space, Open Space at 7 p.m. Is that the time of the show?
7:30.
Sorry, 7:30 p.m. And we've been talking with my guest, Rebecca Rodman from Dirty Cello. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for being our guest on Human Music.
Actually, I want to say how great that interview was. I know you say you guys are amateurs. I'm not feeling that at all. Thank you. Those questions were so insightful. I wish I always got questions like that. So that was really fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. Yeah, I just try to approach it like a music, because I'm a musician also. So I just try to approach it from like what I'm curious about as a musician talking to another musician. So you've been listening to Human Music on Voice of Vashon. I'm Mira Jo. My guest has been Rebecca Rodman from the group Dirty Cello. They'll be performing this Saturday, July 11th at 7:30 p.m. at O Space. You can check out their music at dirtycello.com. On Human Music, I talk with other musicians and music lovers, and we listen to music together. If you're a musician, please reach out to us at info@voiceofvashon.org. Let us know if you want to be a guest on Human Music. Thank you, Jim Marsh, for producing this show. Tune into his Whiskey Hour radio program every Friday at 9 p.m. on KVSHLP Vashon, your listener-supported island connection.
In the beginning, back in 2015, you people didn't know about the Whiskey Hour show. Friday Night Live, DJ Moo had the frequency, and Whiskey had the blues, and no one knew what they were gonna do, but Voice of Vashon had the news. They said, let there be a night, and we chose Friday night. They said, let there be life hacks, and we have Pebble Moose life hacks. Let there be a dance party, and there's a 10 o'clock dance party. Let there be the Whiskey Hour.
Friday nights, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on The Voice of Vashon.